reach your attention and tell you something about standards in quality systems. So, where we are in our program? We are in the program which is not in the middle, but almost in the middle, because we have just 9 weeks together. Today we are going to speaking about standards and quality systems, and in obgave time we are going to working with your mystery shopping case. So you are welcome to coming at 1:15 here. I will spend with you like 20 minutes, introduce you your work for obgave, and then you are going to work in the group and I'm going to help you and violating you through this obgave, but it will coming after that. What will be the program for next week? It will be also Mai who will coming, and I will talk about some process and some changing in the process and improvement in the process, and also obgave will be concerning about this topic. I get like one emails which was asking me if I'm able to use Norwegian language through these lectures, but I'm not sure that it will be effective. I'm not sure that it will be so good it should be, because these terms which are used in books are in English, and I'm not able to use the concrete and correct Norwegian language according to these terms. So I decided to use it like that, because I'm using like the same book, same topics in each lecture, but a little bit different focus in some different parts which I a little bit know more or something like that, or have some experience here. But if there is anybody who would like to continue a Norwegian language, there is possibility to use a video from last year, from 2016. And before each lecture, which has the same concept, using the same chapters, I will put here the link, direct link for Norwegian language, which was teach last year by Eric. So if you would like to have more and use your language, there is this possibility. So in each lecture, there is like the link for each part. We are still working with these two books, and I put to my presentation like links or pages from these both books. So you are going to see later on. But what we are going to do today? Today it is a little bit hard day. We are going to use a lot of terms. We are going to use a lot of maybe new terms for you, new topics, and everything should be done very quickly, because you have like 9 weeks, you have like one book and a lot of topics which are inside. So I decided to choose some topics which are important, which could be interesting, and you can have to focus on these topics in the future. Also in the job, if you are going to use these quality systems on quality management in your jobs after that. So today we are going to speak about ISO standard, ISO. We are going to speak a little bit about Six Sigma, and also we are going to speak a little bit about Pukkajoki. My first question is, if I'm using these terms, do you know ISO? Just the term? Just hands up? Okay, there are some hands up. Have you ever heard this term which is called Six Sigma? Okay. And is there anybody who heard this Japanese Pukkajoki? Okay, so it seems that few people know. It's great, and I hope it will be possible to have some discussion. But it's also good to know that there will be maybe something new for students which didn't raise up the hands, and they get something really, really new. The lecture is divided in a few parts. First, we are going to speak a little bit about history of some guru in qualitative management. Then we are going to use time with this ISO standards. It will be the largest part, because this part is something what I'm a little bit working on. Then Six Sigma. And according to Eric lectures, which was done last year, if somebody continue the context of the lectures from 2016, I'm not going to use House of Quality system today, but I'm going to use this system next lecture. So we are getting all what was inside the last year. And we are a little bit spend more time with Pokajoke, which was not used so much in the lectures 1 year ago. Okay, let's start with history. I put here three names. These three names are in your book. You can see which pages in 8th, in 7th edition. So we are now using the book. And my question is, have you ever heard these names? Do you know these names? Something? Maybe? Deming? Juran? Crosby? Or are these names completely new for you? Maybe they are new. Let's spend a little bit of time with these names, with these men who are like the guru in qualitative system management. But I put here one slide which we had like in the first lecture, where we are now. If you see the picture, there are like two ways. One way is this total quality management, TQM, and the second way is like the Toyota production system. This book on these lectures are more concerning about this total quality management system, because it is the way which was used in United States of America and then goes a little bit more to Europe. And all these three names which we are going to focus on today, they are in this part of total quality management, and also this ISO standard is concerning on this way. My question is, because you should have this Eric had that technology ledelse. Is there anybody who had this subject? Do you using the second direction here, or what is here the main idea of the subject? Is something all of it? Okay. Because I was thinking that we can use, for example, in last lecture, like few slides, what is like the differences between these two methods, the ways to Toyota quality and also the total quality management. So we can use sometimes in the last lecture, there will be some space for that. So today we are in this site, which is around the total quality management. So first name was William Edwards Deming. William Edwards Deming, originally from America, from United States of America. And he was like the mathematicians, he was statistics, and he was trying to find the way how to reach the quality. He was starting with one book from one author, Walter Shewhart, and he was coming with the model which we now know like PDCA model, which is called Plan, Do, Check, Act. I was a little bit using this model in lecture before, and we are going to spend a little bit time the lecture after that. But he is like not the founder, but he is the man who used this model, applied this model, used like more concrete actions inside. So sometimes this model is also called like Deming model or Deming wheel. And Deming because he was like this statistician in mathematics, he was trying to use this way of thinking, not just in a manufacturing companies, but also in a companies which are trying to reach some services, and also trying to use this concept in administrative job and also in management job. Because if you starting with the quality management, normally the process go like that. You have some mathematics, statistics, data, and they you are trying to use this methodology in the companies which are producing some manufacturing things. And then this concept is used in the companies which are focused on services. And then this model is used in the companies or not companies, institutions which are like non-profit organization or government organization. So it is like the nature process of thinking of some new methods during the quality management system. So here I just would like to mention that he was working with this PDCA model, which is the model which is trying to help the companies to continue the improvements in equality. If you see the picture, you can see that there is like one line which is focused on time, and the second one which is focused on equality improvement, and two circles, and one triangle. And one is saying like the standard. There is something when you are starting. And then you are coming with some new project which should reach the new point of quality, and you move whole cycle and going to the stop, to the new place, where is the standard right now. And still trying to reach the better standard in equality. So you can see in the graph that the quality improvement is going up according to time, because it takes time. And this process should continue. So most invention from Deming was this Deming wheel, and possibility of application of this wheel in not just manufacturing companies, but also in other types of companies. According to literature, you can find out that Deming was sometimes called like the founder, like the father of total quality management. But what is interesting that his methods and his way of thinking was not first used and applied in United States. It was Japan. Japanese companies invited him after the Second World War to learn Japanese managers, Japanese companies, this type of thinking, this way of thinking. And then he came back to United States, and right now everybody say, okay, we have Deming here. Why he was not doing this here? And why he was doing this in Japan? Because before nobody was hearing him. Nobody would like to use these methods. And after the Japan starting to be much more effective and reaching the customers more than United States companies, they find out, okay, we can probably trying to use the same. So it is something interesting here. I'm not using this. This is the something what is in the book. This is something what is important, but something what is very long. Deming also coming with some 14 points which are important to implement in a company to reach the good quality management system. It's a lot of tasks here, and it was used. But now, in these days, a lot of these points are normally used in a quality of each company, because the society is changing, people are changing, behaviors are changing, and everything. But here I would like to mention two points. One point, it's like the second point, which Deming was trying to say that each management, especially Western management, should thinking that they should not sleep, that they should still trying to reach the new methods, trying to find what is the best in a quality management system. Because he find out that a lot of companies which find out that, okay, we have profit, we have customers, we have everything, nothing happened. But then coming changes, and these companies are not prepared. They are not prepared to change their behaviors, they are not flexible, and something like that. So he said, you should be prepared. You should know everything changes. You should know new methodology. You should be like open for new tasks. And then you can reach the whole range in a quality management system. What is nice and maybe important point, it was like the 9 point, he said, break, it's not necessary to have like the departments, break the barriers between departments. Because if you have department for marketing, then you have department for production, department for I don't know what. And if there is not good connection between these departments, you are not able to reach the quality. And we are back here right now. You can see that also at university level, we are trying to reach the cooperation between different faculties, between different departments. If you are continue in NTNU, like a master student, you should have go to the one subject which is obligatory for each student and which is called expert in teams. And then you, like the students, should meet the students from other master program and you should work together to reach to coming with something new and reach the quality. So you can see that a lot of these points, if we go one and one, we can find connection to these days. We are still trying to reach them. Okay, so it was Deming. Remember, Deming wheel. It is the most important invention from him. The second one, it was Juran. He was originally from Romania, but he was moved with the family to United States of America and America in these days. And he's starting the same way. He was also mathematics, he was also statistics. And the most important, not invention, the way of thinking what he was working on was Pareto principle. Do you know what does it mean, Pareto optimum? Have you ever heard this term before? Maybe in economics? Because originally this Pareto principle is from Italy, from one Italian economist who used this system in the system of distribution. He said that only 20% of resources or 20% of, for example, people have 80% of everything or 80% of resources. And Juran was working with way of thinking in a company. In a company level, using statistics, in a manufacturing business, in a manufacturing companies, and he trying to use and trying to find a way how to applicate this very effectively. And he find out that this Pareto principle can be used. And for example, if you have like suppliers, you can also use this Pareto and you can make the statistic and you can find out that only 20% of your suppliers are able to supply like 80% of your resources, what you need. And then it means if you know them, you can focus on them because they reach the quality in your business process. So it is something what he was known for, using this Pareto optimum system in a manufacturing companies. Also, he was coming with something what we called Juran trilogy, but this is something what is not new so much, but it's, if you go through it and if you read it, it's about quality planning, it's about quality control and quality improvement. And it goes this way. You should know your customer. If you know your customer, if you know his requirements, you can prepare good quality plan for this type of customers. If you know the customers, you can prepare the process which is reaching these needs of customers. This is this quality control. And the last one, it is about improving. not sleep, improve, try to reach more. So if you study this guru of quality, you find out the same. They are focused on customers and customers' needs. They are focused on the process, the quality in the process, in the production. And the last one is about not sleep, make improvements, trying to reach more. So these three words are the same meanings, but a little bit different focus, different perspectives or something like that. But Juran may be much more known for this using Pareto Optimum system in manufacturing companies. The last one who is mentioned in the book is Philip Crosby, and he is also originally from United States, and he was working with a lot of topics, but the most famous topic which he is known for is zero defect management. It is like the management tool which is trying to prevent to do some defects in the production. And he said that it's much more effectively if we do something right for the first time, not make the mistakes, learn before to make the mistakes. So it is something what he is known, zero defect management, or management tool which is called zero defect. So it was Crosby. And Deming. So these three guru of quality management system are introduced in your book. Also, one part of the chapter 2 is concerning about awards. Because the book is originally from USA, United States of America, the most part is concerning about awards in quality management system in United States of America. Why these things happen? Why states supporting such a type of awards in a national level? What do you think? If you are like the state, for example, United States of America, and you are coming with some concept like award, which is evaluate like best companies or best companies which implement quality management system. What is the reason for this? The main reason is to support quality, to support business in your region, in your country. Why? Because if you trying to support them, if you award them, you can say that you feel okay, we should stay here in this land and producing things, have employees and so on. Because if there is like no support, no, it's not just a word, but just whole concept of thinking in the country, it's that the companies then decided just to leave the country and move the production to different countries and trying to reach different employees or something like that. So this was the main reason in 1987 to promote quality management system in the United States of America, to say we would like to award the companies which reach the good quality management system. And everything was done because of the Japan, because they was afraid of Japanese companies to reach the American market. It was this 1970-1980 ages. If we go through this award, it's focusing, and the first focus was again in manufacturing companies, then come in companies which offer services, then come in companies like the small and medium size, and then companies which taking care about education, health, and non-profit organization. So you can see the same. From a word in manufacturing companies to the other steps. So in 1987, it was just a word for manufacturing companies, and then coming more, 1990 or something like that. If we would like to know what this award is focused on, so maybe it will be better to use the picture, which is also in your pensum book. And in this picture, you can see the main topic which this award is concerning on. It's leadership, strategy, customers, workforce, operations, results. And the last one is measurement, analysis, and knowledge management. I think it's not necessary to know such information and this type of picture, but just to know what is the concept, what they are focused on according to this award. If you are reading this, you can see a lot of interesting topics. But the main aim, again, is focus on customers, focus on cooperation in a company in the level of leadership and workflow, and have some measurement systems which measure this, and have some results which you can perform that everybody can know what's happened in the company. So all these efforts are focusing still about the same, but a little bit different call these names and connection between this. In Europe, it's also mentioned a little bit in this book, we have the same award, which is focusing on a quality management system. But I don't want to make a mistake. Maybe you know these numbers. Not numbers. AFQM. Have you ever heard this or see this? AFQM. This is the award which has the same meaning. To say which company has like the good quality management system which is implemented in a European country's focus. This few AFQM means European Foundation for Quality Management. European Foundation for Quality Management, and they give this European Excellent Award. But the meaning is the same, to promote quality management system and to award companies which are really good in implementation. If you would like to know more information about these awards, I put here some links. But, you know, it is just to know that there are some awards, and if there is somebody who is deeply interesting, he can read a little bit more. But now I have like the question for you. We are stuck with this history, with this part which is described in the book. It's like almost the whole chapter 2. And now I'm going to ISO standard. Something what I a little bit know, something what I'm a little bit working on. So my question is, do you know any concrete ISO standards? I'm sure you know something. Okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Do you know what this ISO is concerning about? Just the meaning? Okay, so. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is also okay, 14001. Do we know more? So it's perfect. We know something, we hear something. Today we are going to spend a little bit time here and also a little bit time here and a little bit more. So let's see. Other question is, do you know what does this ISO mean? What is the meaning of these letters? ISO. because we are using it very often. Because it's like we use it, we know it. Okay. Nope. No answer. Maybe. Okay, but it could be like that. I have one slide here because the institution which is coming with this ISO standard, the name is International Organization for Standardization. But if you go, you have International Organization for Standardization. It's not like that. So it will be something more. I give you the answer, but not now. Do you know when this organization, International Organization for Standardization, can start? Do some tips. What was the, was it like 2000 or was it something before? Some tips. We don't have tips. Okay. And do you know, just tip again, how many standards they have published, this International Organization for Standardization, plus minus? We now know that we know a little bit, like two. Can you have like the number? Just tell something. What do you think? What it could be? Is it like 100? Is it like thousands? Is it like 1 million or something like that? Okay, so let's see. So the first one is the name ISO. Everybody, also me, was thinking it is because of this International Organization of Standardization. It was the first meaning for that, but they find out that after that, if they trying to translate this name of the institution to different countries, it should be changed. If it is in English, it's like that. If it is in France, it is different name. So they decided we are not able to go this way. But they still would like to use these letters. And they came with some Greece name, which is like that. And it means equal. So they decided to use like these three letters for each standard with their publishing. So they still have these letters inside and use Greek mythology, and this whole in English mean equal. And it is the main point of standards, to prepare something what is equal. Because if you have like the standard size, you know, like one centimeter is 1 centimeter. It is like the standard. If you have like 1 liter, it is like 1 liter. So they trying to reach this meaning, something what is equal. So each standard with their publishing starting with this, ISO. Now coming we to the question, when was this organization founded? It was 1947, so it was 50s. And if you see the numbers, how many ISO standards or other standards they have published, it's like 21,000. So it's a lot. It's really a lot. And today we had the chance to speak about like 3 or 5 from them. So if you would like to study that, you need a lot of to reach each the standard. And today, the main secretariat of ISO is in Geneva, in Switzerland. And I think they had like, it's like 135 people, which is like fully working for this institution. But now, I would like to show you like 3 minutes video, which is like the promotion video of ISO standard, which is showing you that ISO standards, it's all around the world, and we are using them not to know that we are using them. But let's see if it will work.
We live in an amazing world, full of incredible opportunities and endless possibilities. But it can also be
it's not more voice.
Overwhelming place. When things don't work as they should,
situation.
It means that standards are absent. But when ISO standards are applied, life is just so much richer. ISO standards help to make the world a safer, cleaner, and more efficient place. From food safety to computers. From healthcare to new technologies. There are many challenges facing our environment, economy, and society. ISO can make a positive difference to all our lives, utilizing a wealth of international experience and wisdom. In today's ever-changing world, ISO standards help create growth, open up global markets, and make trade fairer, including for developing countries. ISO standards can help tackle global challenges like climate change, road safety, energy, and social responsibility. ISO standards touch almost everything we do, keeping us connected and entertained, making us more productive, more creative, sharing ideas, promoting innovation, and keeping us safe and healthy. ISO is the world's largest developer of voluntary international standards. With over 18,000 standards for nearly every aspect of technology and business. For over 60 years, a network of standards bodies in 163 countries, working in partnership around the world and right here at home. ISO builds confidence for today, for tomorrow, and for the future.
So, if you just see this video, you can see a lot of ISOs which were here. So, and they said we have like 18,000, but I was checking some statistic, and here also there is written like that we have 21,000 ISO standards. So it's really huge. It's really a lot. And we are having like the guest lecture on 4th of April. And he is coming from automotive industry, from Benteler company, from Raufoss Industry Park. And he is also going to spend a little bit time with ISO standards, which are used in this type of industry. Okay, let's go back. Okay, it's not like that. So we were speaking that ISO was starting 1947, and the first standard was published in 1951, and this standard is still used. The number of the standard is ISO 1, and it was republished right now in 2016, and is concerning about geometrical product specification. But now, let's go to something what we a little bit know or a little bit heard about. This is this standards, which is from the family of standards from 9000. If you have like the family of the standards, it means it is like the group of standards, which are focused on the same like topic in a different fields. And today we are going to spend a little bit time with this not well-known, but most known, 9001, but later on. Then we were mentioned this ISO 40001. I also have like one more slide after that, but this standard is about environment impact, is concerning about environment performance, about doing the things in the company environmentally friendly, using like environmentally friendly policies and implement them in whole process in the organization. But also after that, using a little bit time with that. I'm not going to use time here, but I was trying to find some standards which can be used in your direction of study. I know there are some students which are study or probably are going to study this information security systems here in NTNU-Javik. So probably you are going to meet with this standard, which is concerning about this topic. But I don't know more about that. I didn't read anything. I just put the name for this who would like to make some interest. And also one which is about energy management, because also there are some students which are focused in energy markets or something like that. So they probably find these ISO standards and they can help them to focus on something. But let's go back to the standards which is most used according to companies, according to business level, according to quality management system. It's ISO 19001, which was right now republished, so it's like from 2015, and the version which was before, it was from 2008, but now it's a little bit new one. This ISO is focusing on a quality management system and give some advice, some requirements, how to implement quality management system in a company. First, at the beginning, was this ISO standard used again in manufacturing companies, but now is the possibility to use the standard in each type of company, each size company, in company which is producing goods, in company which is offer services or something like that. They are trying to open the standards for everybody. So the main aim is for every company to have the chance implement quality management system according ISO 9001. Again, the main focus on this standard is on the customers, trying to fit their needs, trying to reach what they really want and who are our customers. And the idea which is continue is like the idea of continual improvement. And if you are going to read this, you find out that PDCA model, this Deming wheel, is the part of this ISO standard. So now you can see that if there is something which seems to be new, but it's used the theory, the concept which was done before in a different way on different perspectives. But if you decided to implement ISO 90001 in your company, it's very effective if you define your objectives. What is the reason why, like, the company is implementing this standard? This is very important. And the second one, what is very important, is that everybody in the company should be ensured that you are going to use this implementation and you are going to work with this ISO standard, especially senior management system in a board. Why? Because you need to help from each different departments, from each different level of the company, because it is the system which is implemented not only in production part of your company, but in a whole system in a company. From the beginning to the end, you are taking whole process in the company. And the third tips which can help the organization to be effective in implementation, you should find out your customers, you should know the needs of customers, and you should find the key process. The key process are processes in the company which reach the customer's needs. In the company, you have a lot of different processes, but this process which is reaching the needs of the customer is this which you should focus on, because this process produces a lot of quality in your company. And again, the concept of ISO 90001 is the start that you as a company know that you would like to implement such a standard. Everybody in the company know that the company is going through this process implementation. But what is the process behind? First, you need to know what this ISO standard is. You have to buy the standard. So first buy the standard. Then you should have like intern commission which had this task for implementation. Because first the company is trying to implement everything. They can do it alone or they can have some support from some other company which is trying to help the companies with implementation. But the third step is certification. ISO standard 90001 says through ISO organization that it is not necessary to have certification. You can use the standard, you can implement everything, and it's not necessary to have it. But the market around you would like to have this certification. Probably your suppliers, maybe your partner organization, maybe your mother organization, if you are like the daughter organization. I don't know. It is like the purpose. But ISO, like this organization says, it's not necessary to have. You can use voluntary. But the market around you says, we would like to have certification. But this organization is not doing certifications. You have to find your your nationally standard organization. And this national standard organization has the list of bodies which are able to give the certificates. So if you are like the company and you would like to implement this, you can buy the standard from this organization, do the process alone, but you have to ask the third party, somebody who is from outside, to come in and make an audit if you are doing everything according to this standard in your company, and then you are getting the certificate. So it is the process which is behind. Again, the norm, the standard is not long, but not so easy to read. But the main topics are again the same. If you compare these topics with the award in United States, with the topics as an award in Europe countries, you can see the similarity. Customer focus again. Process approach. Improvement. Quality customer improvement. And something more. Leadership and engagement of people and so on. So it is like the seven core principles according to ISO 90001, which you are focusing on. And now we should take like 15 minutes break. But can we have just 10 minutes? Because I have a lot of what I would like to talk to you. So if we can start or not, nobody is saying positive, so 15 minutes. Okay, so we are starting at 20. And next time tell me that we should have a break, because I very often forgot the break. Okay, let's continue. Here on the table, I prepare like the summary, what we are doing, where we are now. So we are finished with this part of history, and I put the names and the most important invention, which was we speaking about. We were speaking a little bit about this ISO, and this is everything what we should do right now. So we have a lot of tasks, and I should reach the last slide in 40 minutes. So it's a lot of things to do, but let's do it. Here we are now in ISO 14001. In this ISO 14001, it is like environmental management systems, which gives you requirements and also guide you how to use such a things in your company. For companies which was certificated by ISO 19001, it is much more easy because it gave a little bit the same framework, the same the way of working with the standard, and it is much more easy to reach the environmental management system 14001. And the concept is the same. You can decide it to get certification from this environmental management system and to promote to everybody, to your suppliers and partners, that your production are environmentally friendly, if I can see like that. But what I would like to say, just use the numbers. You can see how many 14,001 in 2015 was in Norway. I get some statistics, and I also have the statistic from the Czech Republic. How many companies get the certificates 14,001 in 2015? But let's go to next and the last ISO standard, ISO 26000. Here with this ISO 26000, I can spend like 2-3 lectures, because this is my research topic. This is something what I'm focusing on. Because if you are like the lecturer at the university, you should have some lectures. You should give some lectures to the students, but also you should have some research focus, something what you would like to focus on. And my topic is this ISO 26000, which is going with the concept from the sustainability. I'm sure you have heard this term, sustainability, sustainable development, because here in this campus, it's the topic in each level bachelor, master program, a little bit with the focus on this, and then you can continue in master studies, like I don't know the name, sustainable manufacturing or something like that, here in Jovik. The main concept is concerning about three topics: people, planet, profit. Make it together here, something what we call sustainable development, or in a company level, we can call it corporate social responsibility. And ISO 26000 is concerning about these topics, but mainly in this part which is concerning about people. So if you see the ISO standards according to sustainability, in this part around the planet, it is ISO 14001. Partly this ISO 19001, which is concerning on this production, productivity, effectivity, but it's not correctly like that, but it could be also mentioned here in this profit side. And this ISO 26000 is in this part, like the people. So also ISO organization is trying to reach this new topics like sustainability, sustainable development, and why it's happened. Because all quality management systems are focused on customers. And if customers changing something, and it could be focus on some environmentally friendly or some social friendly products or something like that, it means that the company should turn their production to meet the needs of customers. For example, if you would like to check IKEA, they have a lot of program which trying to supporting the market and reaching the market according this type of focus on environmentally friendly and social friendly behaving and reach the customers' needs, which are coming to be a little bit more like pressure on the companies in the such of the market. But it depends what type of company, what type of product, what type of customers. But it is the way how ISO is like answering for these new needs. ISO 26000 is concerning about social responsibility. What is new, what is different if I compare this 19001 and 14001? It is that 26000 is not able to be certificated. It is just the guidance. It is the way how you should behaving as a company, and you are not able to get any certificate. This is something what is new if I compare these two most famous standards, but it is not new according to ISO concept, because they have like 21,000 ISO standards, and only few of them you can be certificated according to this standard. But according to the market, this is something what is challenging. There is no certification. And also the concept is it could be used in each companies, in each level, in each size. What was a little bit new was the process of coming with this ISO 26000 in the market. Normally, ISO organization is working in some teams. You have like experts, and these experts preparing the standard. It takes 1-2 years, and the standard is here. But this ISO 26000, it takes a lot of time. It was 5 years hard working, 500 people was involved. It was like more than 99 countries, it means experts from 99 countries coming, and they discuss this type of standard. So it takes a lot of time, and they get some results which coming in 2010. But the process was completely new, also for ISO organization as a whole. They call it like multi-stakeholder process. It means a lot of stakeholders, groups was involved to establish this standard. And after that, they coming with standard, which is around 100 pages. And they promote from the first way that it should be easy to read. But if you open the standard and trying to read this, it is not so easy to read. It is not so easy to understand. I put here the link where you can find something what they called like the draft of ISO 26000. Because you are not able to have ISO 26000, you have to buy this. But it's online, the draft. And draft means something what is like 70-80% the same, but something what was before that official publication. But you can see what is inside, how does it work, to get some idea. So if you are interested, you can open here. If you open the standard, you can see a lot of chapters, a lot of topics, and a little bit mess. So if you are not like the specialist, according to sustainability, according this type of way of thinking, it takes you a little bit time to understand the standard. From my side, I think it is like the minus. It is like something what they should focus a little bit more. But what is interesting, again, they put like the 7 main topics which they are interesting in a social level. And it is like human rights, labor practice, fair operations practice, consumer issues, the environment. So we can see there is coming something from environmental part, but not so much, not so focused like here in 14001. And also community involvement and development. And in the middle is like the organization and organization governance. So they decided to reach these 7 topics. If you are study sustainability and these 3 pillar, people, planet, profit, they are more focusing to this people side. And if you open like human rights, labor practice, fair operations practice, and if you starting to read this standard, you find out if you are like the company which is producing the things, for example, here in Norway, almost like 70% of these standards is something what you are doing very naturally. You are paying salary, you don't employ kids or something like that. So the standard is, it's not used, but it's more often for companies which are not producing the things in Western Europe countries or something like that. It is like not the main focus, but if you read what is inside, you find out, okay, my company is doing everything what is inside, like the nature, because of the law. You have law, you must continue the law. And there are some countries that don't have so strong law, so it is like the recommendation for them. So they had like the 7 topics, and then also they used like the 7 principles. Accountability, transparency, ethical behavior, and so on and so on. So it is like the principles how you should behave in each 7 part of this ISO 26000. I'm going through this a little bit briefly because it's so difficult to tell in 5 minutes. But this picture, it is the 2nd picture in the standard if you open this, and this should help you to orientate it in the standard. And for the 1st point of view, you can see these 7 circles, which is, one is like not the 7, but this organizational governance is something what is going around, so we call it like 7 principles. And then these principles which I was speaking about are here, but there is something more. But everything what is written here is like just the guidance, the way how you should use it, some recommendation. There is not written like, first you should do this, second you should do this, third you should do this. It's not like that. People before the standard was published was thinking a little bit like that. We get like the prescription what we should do, but it's not like that. It's just recommendation for that. So, and what is like the positive aspects from this ISO 26000? I think that the positive way is that one organization, like Organization for Standardization, prepares some terminology, one definition of some terms, because it's not easy to have like one definition which everybody accepted. So I think it is like the plus. The other plus of this standard is that they are trying to give like a complex view of social responsibility on this part of people in sustainability. And also what is like the positive, through this multi-stakeholder process, they invited not just the experts, but also people which working in non-governmental organization, people which working in independent organization. So it was like multi-stakeholder process which focus on one concrete results. But what is negative fall? I think we can find some negative falls. And the first one is this problem with certification. Not everybody know the such of standard is not able to certificate. And you can open some web page or some companies and they are writing, we are using ISO 26000 and have certificate, and put something, some picture. But it's not true. You are not able to do this. And this type of presentation, we call it like the greenwashing. It's something what you said that you are doing, you have certificate, but it is not the truth. It sometimes happened with the companies, not here in like Western Europe, but in the companies which are sometimes in Asia or Africa or something like that, to promote that we are like the social responsible company because of the suppliers, because there are some pressure from suppliers on that. So it is a little bit minus of that. I am not saying that they should make the certificate, because it's not easy. Certificate something like the part of sustainability on the people, but they should promote a little bit more and everybody should know you are not able to get the certificate. And a little bit problem with this is that people which had like this certificate and this certificate and coming to this ISO standard, they find out that the way of thinking in the standard is a little bit different. So it's again to starting to reading something new, the new concept or way of thinking. News from ISO 26000, from ISO, there are some two new coming norms for standards which they are focused, the first one in a sustainable procurement. There probably will be some certification, but I didn't have a chance to check this. And also new one, anti-bribery management system. So you can see ISO is trying to meet these customers' needs to focus in these soft topics, not just the quality, like the pure quality of the product, but also this type of anti-bribery management system or something like that. Here, I will be a little bit quick. I was speaking about research, about ISO 26000. What I did and what I'm focusing on. It was, I think, 2007, and I decided to study this ISO 26000. Because they started working in 2005, and they said, there will be standard 2006, nothing happened. There will be standard 2007, nothing happened. So I was a little bit wonder what's happened, why do I have this problem? And I said the question, like the research question, you know, from this methodology courses. And I was asking, like, right now, in this moment, are company interesting about such a standards? Would like they have such a standards right now? Before the publication is ready? Is there something like demand from the company? And I'm trying to get the answer. So I did some research. I was focusing on 100 top companies in some countries and sent question mark with some questions. But the main focus was to ask them, do you know this standard which is probably coming, and are you interested about this, and are you able to applicate this standard after it will come? And I work a little bit hard with some students, but as every research, you are supposed to have some results, and we get some results. But we was not so effective in getting answers. We get like in each country, it was like the group of 100 companies. And you can see how many companies was like the answer and how many answers was suitable for processing. And but because the whole project is doing without no money, there was no support. It was just students which tried to help according some subject or according some bachelor thesis or something like that. But we get some group of companies, and we work with these companies. And we get some results. One question was about knowledge of the knowledge of the standard. The standard was published in 2010, and the research was doing before, 2 years before, one or two. But from 2005, ISO promote. We are working on that. So you can see that not everybody, but a lot of companies know about the standard, that something is happened. But what was interesting, it was interesting the result from the Sweden, that was like 50 and 50. And Sweden was like the main organization which promote this ISO standard and was responsible for whole process. It was one institute from Brazil and from Sweden working together to promote this ISO 26000. So it was a little bit interesting to get the answer. Sweden doing a lot and companies don't know so much. And then we get like again one question which was about interest in application. If the companies are interesting about this and if they would like to applicate in their companies. And you can see that it was a little bit like more negative, maybe in the future or no. There was like not sure. So it was like the result from the first part of the research that companies know that something will happen, but we are not so much interesting right now. And now I'm like continue in this topic, and I would like to concern in the same group of companies and asking these companies right now, 7 years after publication, ask them, did you use this ISO or not? And if yes, how? To know, to get the answer. And the first step in the such of research is the like literature review. And I would like to find out who and what was written from 2005 till 2016. What was written. And I find out it was written like more than 140 articles, which was focusing on ISO 26000, but the concept going like on the process of these multi-stakeholders, but nobody is now concerning who is really using this norm and which way, if somebody use it. So it is like the question for next research. So it is something you had learned in the methodology course, the process of doing some research. But stop with this ISO standards, and I have like the question. First one, why do you think that companies trying to reach this ISO standards, especially this 2-1, and get certification? What is the reason? What do you think? Can you imagine that you are working in a company and now your manager is coming? Now you are responsible for implementation of ISO 90001. And first question, why we should do this? Why we should do this? It's a lot of work. It takes time. It's right that the main purpose of ISO 19001 was to have good quality management system in your company. But what was happen during the ages that this certificate ISO is on the market? It happened like that your customers, your partners would like to know that you are like good company, you have a good quality system. And if you, for example, are a company from not European country, and for example from Asia or something like that, and if you would like to reach the market in Western Europe, it is something what you have to have, because you don't find any suppliers, you don't find any partners or something like that. So it's happened, you said, because suppliers, customers, or somebody would like to know how good we are. But the main purpose was to have good quality management system in the company. So sometimes it's happened that the companies using the system have the certificate, but nothing is happened like actually inside the company. So it is a little bit minus of that, but the main purpose was like that. And I put here organization in Norway, which is responsible for implementation of ISO standard or other standards in Norway. So we are finished with this part, which was concerning about ISO. And now going a little bit here is Six Sigma or Solid Pukajoke. So first, have you ever heard this Six Sigma? I heard that somebody was hearing this. What is the main core of this Six Sigma perspective? It's the number six. It's something what we call sigma. It's about standard deviation. It's about statistics, things from the first point of view. It's like that. Okay. And who was coming with this purpose, with this perspective? It was Motorola, 1986. They coming with this Six Sigma statistics methods, which is trying to identify your defects and trying to work with these defects much more effectively. Why they coming with this? Because they starting to have a problems. They find out they are able to produce something, but the quality is not so good that customers meet the needs. So it was the problem. They had the same product, the same production, but the customers was not satisfied. So they should find something new, and they coming with these statistic methods, which we called Six Sigma, and which is working with these standard deviations. Then in 1995, General Electric used these methods, put something more, and I will tell you later what they did. And if I am going to this statistic standard deviation, it's like that. I'm sure that you know this graph, maybe from mathematics, from statistics, maybe from this methodology course. This Six Sigma is about these six standard deviations, which are from the mean. So in the middle, you have like the mean. For example, the product which is reaching the mean quality for the customers. And you put a little bit weight range according to this and preparing some place for defects. So it means everything what is between these two lower specification limit and upper specification limits is okay. It meets needs of quality for customers. And everything what is here on this side, it's a defect which is not acceptable. And according to the statistic and according to this weight range Six Sigma, you can also find out that 3.5 defects per million is something what can happen. I can use some picture. You have, for example, like the plane, which is trying to landing the land. So you have like the plane. Let's try show the plane. Okay, it could be like that. And here is this line, which must the plane continue, not make any crashes or something like that. And according to this defect, according to Six Sigma standard deviation, you are preparing whole way where is possible to landing the land without any defects. If you are landing here, this is like this 3.5 defects per million, and you have the crash. But if you are landing between these two standard deviation, nothing special will happen according to the customer's needs, because they are on the ground, something like that. So this is like the main focus of Six Sigma, to find your place where you should have the quality of your product. And also this method was first time used according to the statistics methods in the manufacturing companies. Now this method is again starting to use in a service system, in a non-profit organization, in a government system or something like that. So it is like this progress. But if you decided to use this Six Sigma methodology, they are like three steps. First is this statistic point of view. The second one is the methodology, which we call DMAES. Define, measure, analyze, improve, control. Because today we don't have so many time, and I will speak about this a little bit more next lecture. But here is funny video. It takes like 2 minutes about the man who is trying to use this Six Sigma methods using this DMIS. And it is the man, he is every morning is not able to catch the bus to his job. So if you have a time, just see at home, but not now. So the second step, first is this statistic point of view. The second step is this methodology you can use, but next lecture I will have concrete example for that. And the third part is like the philosophy. It is the way of thinking in whole company. So if you can decide, if you would like decided to use this method, not just in one concrete product according to the statistic, you can use this philosophy in a whole company process. But what is here something special? If you use this methodology, especially this DMIS, you should prepare like one team. And this team is trying to solve concrete problem. And according to Six Sigma, if you would like to have like effective teams, you should have inside employees which reach some courses. The courses call Six Sigma Black Belt courses, Six Sigma Green Belt courses, and Six Sigma Yellow courses. So first, officially, employees should have these courses, and then you can start some concrete program, project dealing with this Six Sigma. If you have like this black belt Six Sigma course, so it means that you have some theory, but also you must have 2 experiences minimum from some concrete project which was using this Six Sigma approach. It is something what is used, but it's not necessary, but it's like the recommend to use such a type of education. I put here one slide which is trying to compare these methods zero defect and this Six Sigma, because both these methods are concerning on defect or something what is going wrong. Zero defect, it is like the point of view that you are trying to use like the prevention, not to use defects before. But Six Sigma, it's like the defect management. It means that the defects happened and now you are trying to manage this defect to not have so many defects in the future. So it is the main, for sure, it is the main differences between these 2 points of view according to defects in the company. If you go through this picture, what is here written, it's about this green belt, black belt, and something like that. This Six Sigma is the methodology which is a little bit more used in literature, more work behind. So they recommend this certification like black belts or something like that. But zero defect is not working on such a type of recommendations. But what I would like to mention here, it's like the last one, employee involvement. If you are using this Six Sigma methods, sometimes it's a little bit negative that you prepare like one team which is trying to reach some problem. And sometimes you have the people which are in the problem and they don't have this good point of view for the problem which happened. For something, if it is something in production line and you prepare some team, and if you have nobody who is really from this production line who can tell you what is the really problem, what he is really see the problem, it could be a little bit like the minus of the method. But you can find a way. You should choose the people to this team which are really should be in this team to solve such a problem. So it is like a little bit limitation of this Six Sigma way of thinking and way of doing if you are using these black belts and green belts or something like that. And because we have only like 5-6 minutes to the end, I have like the question, what does it mean pokayoka? Pokayoke. Have you ever heard this term? Foolproof? Idiot secrets also? Or in English we call it like mistake proofing. It's like, you know, if you have like the production and if you're producing something, you have like the machines and you have like the people. And a lot of, I'm not saying that every, but a lot of problems in the production line are because of the people. And this Japanese approach mistake-proofing is trying to eliminate these humans' mistakes by using small things. I have some example, not from production, but from everyday life. You can see one Pukkayoke in praxis. What do you see here? It is a SIM card. What is the Pukkayoke here in this concept? What should make people not make the mistakes here? What do you think? Is this clip corner? Why is here this clip corner? Because if you would like to use it on mobile phone and you are not able to put it in different way, because the slot is also without this clip corner. And if it's not this clip corner, you can use it. Okay, it's not working. So maybe you can use it 3 times to find the way how to put the SIM card on mobile phone. But if it is here, this clip corner, you can maybe do it for the first time right. It is like the Pukkayoke in everyday life. Here, the second one. It was like me here, the cables. Just the colors. Black cable to black slot, red cable to red. And you don't need to know what should happen. You just put the pictures and colors together. It could be also like Pukkayoke. Mm-hmm. And now, because we have like 5 minutes, use these 5 minutes and think about Pukkayoke in your everyday life. Do you find any more examples which you are using maybe every day? Do you have any examples, some Pukkayoke in your life? I'm sure there are a lot of, but we just don't know that it's like that. And then we can call it like that, like Pukkayoke everyday life.
And a lightning cable for iPhone.
Lighting cable?
Put it both ways.
Okay. So it's like... Yeah, okay, so it's not necessary to put the right way. You can choose both of them.
Yeah.
Okay? It could be like that. Is there any example? Any more example?
USB cable?
USB? Only just a little bit higher voice use. Yes, it could be because also, and I'm a little bit thinking here, if you have like the PC and if you are writing with 10 fingers and not use the eyes, is there anybody who is able to write with 10 fingers and not using the eyes? So you just put the fingers and you feel that something in here in F and J is a little bit something more. It's a little bit up. So you can put the fingers directly here and you know my fingers are the right position and then I can write everything what is here. You can check your PC. I'm sure that in every PC is something like that. Something what is a little bit bigger. Have we more examples? Okay, so if there are no more examples, now you can think about it, maybe trying to more focus on your everyday life and trying to say, oh, we can call this Pukkajoki. And let's finish with our Czech language study. Last lecture we were speaking about Chadebra. It was naschledanou in my language, naschledanou. And today I would like to learn you the first one. Dobrý den, gudak, dobrý den, dobrý den. So I hope that we are going to see each other at 1:15 and we are going to work together in group Vilse from 13:15 till 15. And there will be probably one pokajoke from my side, because I was thinking last time that if I'm going in this atrium, I don't know which group is my group. So probably I'm going to print like the paper, like the quality Ledelse. And if you have this paper on the table, then I will know this is my group. It could be like pokajoke, ikesan? So let's see, let's try. Thank you for attention.